This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. We're going to have a great show. We're going to relive a lot of things, and we're going to be talking with Danny Jones about, old magazines, murder in Murfreesboro. We're going to talk about art. Do what?
I didn't do it.
Well, it hasn't been proven yet. Oh, yes, it was. I'm sorry. We're going to be talking about Mr. Albert Dubois, and we actually have a real detective magazine that Danny brought with him, along with a lot of old memorabilia that would go back to many of our childhoods.
And beyond.
I haven't seen the comic books that you've got with you, but this real detective story, national detective, and it's I guess it was probably worldwide at that time, and it featured, the murder feature in it was Mr. Albert Dubois and the murder of Mr. Willis, who was a cab driver right here in Murfreesboro.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit, but we want to let you know that the first part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. And when you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639 and athomecaretennessee.com. That's online at athomecaretennessee.com. 713-4639. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing good. My bride got up and fixed me sausage and biscuit, and she said, "Well, do you think Truman would want one?" I said, "No, he doesn't like homemade sausage and biscuit," so I didn't bring you one.
You dog. That would have been a treat for me.
It would have.
I cannot believe it.
And she said, "Tell you hello."
Oh, tell her hello. She is the sweetest lady, and she's out this morning working out, you said.
She was at the gym about 5:30 this morning, as usual.
Yeah. Do you do that, too?
I used to.
Oh, come on. You have so many interests, though. I mean, I remember running into you at Miller's.
Miller's Grocery?
Yes. And you were not inside dining or eating. You were outside painting.
Right.
And you weren't painting the building or anything like that.
Right. And, or my nails.
Yeah. And I went over and stood behind you, and it was absolutely fascinating to watch you create the store and the atmosphere around it. And I really enjoyed it. And I told you back then, I said, I've got to have you on my show because oil painting is absolutely fascinating, or any type of artwork is fascinating to me. And you were in the real estate business for a long time.
Kind of still am.
And Pam.
Pam's been doing it for about 27, 28 years, and I've got about 35 years.
You've seen a lot of changes over that time.
Seen a lot of changes.
Is it starting to, is the sun starting to shine a little bit brighter?
Yeah, it is. It hadn't really converted to a lot of dollars yet like it used to be, but there's a lot of activity, a lot of good stuff out there, and you know, now it seems like an old cliche, but now's the time to buy. Yet last year was a time to buy. The year before was a time to buy. When you're at the bottom, that's the time to buy. That's when the big guys with the big money do the buying. I saw yesterday on the news, or maybe it was this morning, that some big home builder is buying out local home builders so he can come to this market and get established. So these big guys, national guys, if they're coming here, they know something. They do their research and their homework, and they wouldn't be coming here if our market wasn't going to be better.
You know, when I was younger and you were younger, when you started your life going with your houses, you usually bought kind of like a starter house, and then as you became financially stronger, you would move up to another house and probably sell your home at a profit. In fact, a number of people paid for their houses as they went up by the profit that they were able to gain on their older houses. Mm-hmm. And when the market around here became gutted because of the financial conditions and there were so many people that had bought homes that really couldn't afford them, it left homes out there hanging, and it changed the way that people worked with their homes. Are we starting to see a difference in that coming back? Because, as we all know, it's not a mathematical problem that's hard to solve. You have to get rid of the homes that are for sale before you can actually get into the newer home park projects and that, especially when you can buy a home that's already been occupied for a while cheaper than you can build one. And it's been that way for a while.
Yes, it has. That part of the market, it got out of hand when people were buying houses and selling them, or buying them for and financing the total value of the house, and then getting some extra money on top of that just to get home ownership. Everybody deserves a home.
Right.
And there's a lot of people out there that can take that same scenario and make it. It's the people that don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care if they walk away from a debt or indebtedness or not. But there's a lot of people that still are out there that need that. They need that extra help. And we mm-hmm. don't need to take that away from them. And I don't know how to fix that and how to be sure of that. There were some debt ratios that the lenders got real creative back in the heyday. Mm-hmm. And there used to be some debt ratios that they used. And one was your housing cost per income, and then your total cost, monthly debt cost to mm-hmm. income. And as long as those ratios were down in the 35% range, those people paid their bills. Then they raised it to the 40s, and it finally got up into the 50s. And mm-hmm. that's people that are paying over 50% of their income total debt. They can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the people that got in trouble. But those people that needed to borrow 100% to get a house that their debt to income ratio was down around 35%, that mean they could do it and they could pay their bills. They just didn't have any cash to buy a house mm-hmm. with. So there's nothing wrong with that, but it's something wrong with it when people start falsifying records and credit reports and things like that to get people in houses just to be selling houses.
We saw a influx of people from outside this area buying up land, and they were hoping, and it was during the kind of almost the inflationary time where the home values were going up.
Right.
We saw a lot of that speculation
right.
from New York and places like that. And I think there's still some of that going on, knowing that it's going to catch hold, and it will start to go back up again. But it was so tough on those speculators when it came in, because they spent a lot of money
mm-hmm.
for good land, of course,
mm-hmm.
and then they were going to build.
A lot of times it was too much.
Yeah, and then the whole bottom fell out, and they were caught. So real estate has always been kind of like a guessy type thing. I mean, you can be riding high, and the next day you get a leak in your boat. You just never know, but it's a great business if you do it right.
If you do it right.
Yeah.
When I got my license in 1976, our contract was one page, legal size page, mm-hmm. front and back. And everybody worked for the betterment of the deal for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
As time went on, people got creative, and I like to call them these Harvard boys, got creative and said, oh, we need to create this designation. You need to go get this designation so you can promote yourself as being a this or this or that. And it got out of hand. Well, it did a lot of good, but it got out of hand, and it got to the point where in the past 5 to 8-10 years, the business has gotten so adversarial. Everybody seems like they've got to justify their side of the deal or what they're doing, whether you represent the buyer or the seller or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the government has gotten into it, and it's taken all, it's making it so hard that it's not the pleasure to sell real estate like it once mm-hmm. was. You used to be able to trust everybody. You could do a deal. If another guy brought you a deal, you could rely on him doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that they don't do the right thing anymore. They just make it very, very difficult. And they're trying to please the media, I believe, more than anything.
You know, when the government gets involved in something, yes. it almost throws up a red flag already. And you say, uh-oh. You know, it's hard to work within some of the rules they set up, isn't it? And then when they get involved, like with the banks, and you know, they can blame all the private sectors they want to, but government has a lot of problems with dealing with things like that, and it makes it tougher on everybody else.
It really does. It used to be, Truman, I don't know if you're familiar with the local market now, but years ago when all this started, it came to the point where we had to get lawyers to write our contracts for the Tennessee Association of Realtors. Mm-hmm. To create a document that we all could be use universally. It's 28 pages today.
Wow.
28 pages, that's the minimum. And then you've got so many other disclosure documents mm-hmm. that go along with it. And nowadays, you can, it's hard to write a contract nowadays and not be
liable, or you have to protect yourself.
We have to have all kinds of E&O insurance, and you know, people want to sue you at the drop of a hat over nothing. And you can do your best, and you can be honest, and still get in trouble.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. All right, with all that pressure that you've had on, you and Pam working together. I've seen your pictures. Your pictures are in the paper usually together.
Yeah.
When you're doing, I think that's pretty neat.
It is. I have. Graduated to her assistant, being her assistant lately in the last few years.
That is. That's a promotion.
That's a promotion.
Yeah.
I put her signs up and, you know, mm-hmm. put her multi-locks on and do those kind of things. But that's okay. Who would you rather do business with, her or me?
Pam.
Okay. Rest my case.
But if I want to buy a painting, I'll buy it from you.
Well, you might buy it from her. She might negotiate with you a little bit.
Now, tell me how you got into this. You were telling me a little bit before we went on the air. And I've heard from a lot of people that when you develop an art of painting, it not only gives you self-satisfaction, it's one of the more relaxing hobbies that you can get into. It just takes all that stress and everything away from you.
It really does. You know, whether you're gardening or you're making birdhouses or whatever it is, everything you do, if you'll just think about it, you're being creative in mm-hmm. some fashion. If it's just mowing your yard, liking to mow your yard, you like to mow it your way. You like right. it to look the stripes this way or that way or whatever. So you're being creative. Everybody is creative. It's just in what venue they're creative in.
Now, who sold you on that? I'm not creative.
Yes, you are. You're doing a radio show. You
well,
that?
Oh, that's something I love.
Yeah,
maybe like it is. It's more like a hobby to me. It really is. I'm not a professional radio person, but I absolutely enjoy learning, and I enjoy all the interesting people that are here in this community. People don't realize how fortunate we are.
Exactly.
And to be blessed with rubbing shoulders with people like you and other people, it's fun to me.
It is. It's fun to me to, whether it's the art or just talking about the old times. You know, mm-hmm. we're getting to be old codgers.
Yes.
And looking back at the things that that we grew up with, and you and I were talking a minute ago about what we had to play with when we were kids was either a BB gun or a bicycle or a baseball bat.
And we said the baseball bat had nails in it. We taped it, and the baseball had tape wrapped around
that's
it.
That's right. Skinned up.
Yeah. And we had a ball.
Had a ball.
Yeah.
And didn't worry about, you know, I saw something on the news in the last couple of days about, it was a family somewhere that had a big farm, and the whole, it was like 8 or 10 kids, and they all lived on the farm, and they all worked on the farm,
mm-hmm.
and they had very, very little sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they weren't so clean and sanitary, and there's a lot of bacteria and things out there that we need. I guess it's bacteria, whatever it is, that we need on our bodies to stay healthy. And
did you ever eat dirt?
I ate coal.
No, I didn't go that far.
When I was a little kid. Oh, yeah.
But I don't know about you, but there's always a special place that you would go to read comic books. Mine was at Arthur Young's right there in Jakestown. He cut our hair, but even when it wasn't our time to have our hair cut, we would go in there, and he would always supply us with comic books. And I had tons and tons of those things put away. And, of course, they're gone now. We all lost them different ways. But you were able to save yours. You went up, and I think you said in the attic, and got all of these fabulous books down. I mean, it's just, you can relive your childhood by going back.
They're old comic books that I had, Lone Rangers and stuff like that, all kinds of old, from the late 50s. But my grandmother had this big trunk when she passed away with all the stuff that she had saved of mine.
Wow.
And, clothes and shoes and everything in it. But, yeah, I've got it in my attic, and that's where this magazine here came from. And I remember old stories when I was a kid. I used to love to listen to the adults tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I've liked history. I wish I could go back and go through high school and grammar school again now, because I would want to learn so much. You know, it's amazing when we get older how much knowledge becomes more important to us.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And this one magazine we were talking about earlier about Albert Du Bois, it is so fascinating. And you actually have pictures in here of Albert and the people that are in the audience there at the courthouse. And you see the Attorney General, John Jewell, sitting there. And it brings back so many memories. I know everybody that's played football for Old Central High School, they had Dr. Kaufman mm-hmm. as their doctor who would take care of them. And he was one of the major players in here as a physician. And it's just something that, you know, I could almost read it to the people, and it would be so fascinating. Because of the way that
the terminology,
it was so colorful and poetic, and they knew how to bring a story to you back then. I mean, it was an art form; it really was.
And real writers,
yeah. And I don't know how much of it would be completely factual. You know, most of the time when you read stories about things like that, they embellish it a little mm-hmm. bit. That's why I love the Rutherford County Historical Society so much, is they go back and they actually put the pieces. They are the detectives. They put them together and formulate the real truth of what happened back then. But what you're doing with your art form is you're preserving history. Because when you were out painting Miller's store or Miller's grocery, it was almost perfect the way I envision it. Also, I was almost seeing it through your eyes, but I'm seeing it through mine also, because there have been a number of pictures have you seen inside the store there mm-hmm. of the old store, but it makes it just a little bit different, and it preserves it. Do you look at that when you were actually going out and picking your subjects as far as what you want to paint? I mean, how do you do that? Because that has to be a major part of the process.
Well, you know, a few minutes ago I told you about doing a workshop with mm-hmm. Brett Weaver. And a couple of things I learned, one is from Brett Weaver. The thing I don't think I told you that, but what I learned was when we were out at Denny Hastings' house trying to find a view to paint.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one out at Deason, right?
Out at Deason, at the county line.
Right.
Yeah, Bedford County line. Mm-hmm. Beautiful place.
Denny doesn't live in any bad place.
He doesn't live in any shack, does he? That's not Denny's style.
No.
We were walking around, and, you know, you see artists do this with their fingers, you know, to frame out something, and we've also got these little slide things you look through. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to find a good, clean view.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett Weaver said, "Danny, quit worrying about doing that. Create your view." And that view that you saw in that painting that I did, if you went out there and stood right where I painted that from, mm-hmm. you would see more than what's there. So you learn to create a view. You either add to or take away. I've got several paintings at home of paintings that, or pictures that we had in the house, framed. Mm-hmm. Some of them framed pictures, some of them just pictures of things that we already had in the house. Mm-hmm. I liked the picture, but I wanted to make it my way.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that same basic concept and made it like I wanted it to be. And I created something by doing that. And I feel good when I create something, especially when somebody like yourself appreciates what I see and what mm-hmm. I do, and other people.
Yeah, because you're not just doing it for yourself. When you're doing something, you actually do when you do it.
Yeah.
But you want other people to enjoy it also.
What good is anything good if you can't share it?
That's right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Danny Jones.
Okay.
Liberate yourself from the shackles of dead-end job gloom. Work for yourself as a farmer's agent at Farmers Insurance. Call District Manager Mark Lewis at 625-7070 to find out how. We are insurance, we are farmers.
Tennessee Radio Network News, I'm Jim Williams. Nashville firefighters battled a big fire near a large propane tank this morning. Their equipment had to be pulled back after a time due to risk of explosion. The blaze was behind a warehouse in the Metro Center Business Park north of downtown. Flames threatened that 1,000-gallon tank. A deluge was set up to keep pouring water on it, so no injuries were reported. Several nearby businesses got closed off, and a road into that park was shut down as well. Police are looking for an escaped inmate.
Authorities in Warren County say a prisoner is still on the run after escaping custody. A deputy was driving Dustin Gushwa to the Warren County Jail on Tuesday. When the deputy stopped in McMinnville to get gas, the prisoner managed to escape from the patrol car and took off running.
TRN's Tanya J. Powers. And varied conditions outdoors across the Volunteer State. While skies are clear in West Tennessee, the Cumberland Plateau and the eastern Tennessee River Valley are looking for snow. Forecasters have posted a winter storm warning for the mountains of East Tennessee starting at 11 Eastern time this morning. Forecasters say there could be significant snow accumulations, especially in the higher elevations. Some rain.
Hey, Gibby, won't you let me in?
Parnell, we've been through this the last time you were in here buying lottery tickets.
I was just going to get a couple of Tennessee cash tickets.
Yeah, well, what about your cow?
What cow?
The cow that's standing right behind you.
Oh, this cow?
With jackpots starting at $200,000 and drawings every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Tennessee Cash is a cash cow. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing fun.
I've never seen her before in my life. Gibby, there's a cow standing out here. Let me in.
Parnell.
Open the door.
Moolah.
Hey, how you doing?
Ticket, please.
You gotta have a ticket to get in here?
Yep.
I don't have a ticket.
Gotta have a ticket.
Well, how much are tickets?
We're sold out.
So I can't get in?
Gotta have a ticket.
Well, I got this ticket.
What kind of ticket is that?
Tennessee Lottery Black. Could be worth $1 million.
You're in. With a top prize of $1 million, the new Tennessee Lottery Black Instant Game could just open some doors for you. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing fun.
And perpetrated against TennCare.
A Giles County man faces charges after he used drugs that he purchased using TennCare benefits to manufacture crystal methamphetamine. If convicted, the TennCare fraud charge against John Robinson could result in a 2-year sentence.
CRN's Andrew Warren. Murfreesboro Representative Joe Carr doesn't like the president's new proposals. He wants to make it a crime in the Volunteer State for federal agents to enforce any effort to ban firearms or ammunition. Carr says his bill also requires the Attorney General to defend any Tennessean prosecuted for violating the potential federal gun violations. And state gun store owners say fear in the possibility of stricter laws following the school shooting in Newtown has been driving customers to buy whatever they can. With civilian demand going up, that's slowing down the buying process for some police departments. In pro hoops last night, it was the Spurs beating the Grizzlies in San Antonio 103-82. Jim Williams, TRN News.
Are you driving around in a state of doubt, wondering how your car insurance will really take care of you? I'm State Farm Agent Monty King. Let me get you to a better state, a state of confidence that the coverage you're driving around with is actually driven by your wants and your needs. That's why 97% of the people who've had claims with State Farm would recommend us, without a doubt. Give me a call at 220-2210. You'll see how easy and affordable it can be.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Monty King in Smyrna. Give me a call at 220-2210.
It's time for the 8th Annual Polar Bear Golf Scramble on January 19th at Indian Hills Golf Course. The tournament is presented by the Murfreesboro Noon Exchange Club. All proceeds go toward the prevention of child abuse at the Exchange Club Family Center. The cost is $75 per player or $300 per team. It includes breakfast, lunch, and a whole bunch of prizes. So put on your warm hunting clothes, keep that gun in the safe, and knock the dust off those golf clubs. Join us for the 8th Annual Polar Bear Golf Scramble, January 19th at Indian Hills Golf Course.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
Weather Eye.
Time to get a check of the forecast here at 9:34.
Brian, we're going to continue to see at least a little bit of spotty rain or even some snow shower activity as we go throughout the rest of today. Along with that, we're also going to be seeing our temperatures stay on the chilly side. We'll be in the middle 30s. We should see improving conditions, though, as we head through tonight as skies gradually become mostly clear and our lows dropping into the middle 20s. And then for our Friday, we should see plenty of sunshine with a light northeast wind at 5 to 10. Highs will be in the middle 40s. Friday night, mostly clear, and as our lows will be dropping back into the upper 20s.
35 right now with some light rain falling at times. Our good neighbor of the day today, Teresa Neese, a great-grandmother and mother. She's our good neighbor of the day, nominated because of the time and dedication that she delivers to her two grandchildren every day. She receives flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts, and also congratulations to our birthday cake winner, Danny Coggins. Happy 5th birthday today, receiving the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland.
Bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
This is FM. It's the Truman Show. A look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Danny Jones. This is Jones Day. Couldn't be a better day.
Or heck, better night.
Yes, it's Jones Week. We had David on earlier, so that's what we need to do, is just go every other week, just have all Joneses. I think we can handle
it. Have a day of all of us.
Yes. We want to let you know that this part of Danny's show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on to Ridgely Road. Do you ever, you know, I can envision you out at Sam Davis Home or the Readable Mill, and you may have already painted some of these. I wouldn't be surprised if you hadn't. And dress Pam up in one of those 1800 just beautiful gowns that they used to have back then, and recreate some of the things that in people envision of that time.
Well, I'd have to take a photograph of it or a picture of it, because she wouldn't sit still long enough for me to paint it.
But it's so interesting. I wished I had that ability. And you were saying that everybody has an ability to create, but it have to be in different areas, because just like Ronnie Barrett built the Barrett's Firearms and he established it, he did it out of his own vision, looking at it. And when he first brought up the pistol that he made the first time, I said, Ronnie, you're not going to be able to do that. But he had it all sketched out and everything, and doggone if he didn't build it just probably better than anybody else could. He has that innate ability. Now, you were telling me that you don't have to have that, but I find that hard to believe, because you're so good at it.
Well, some people adapt better than others, mm-hmm. And learn better than others. I'm not. I'd like to think I was pretty good.
You are.
There's people that are out there that are really, really good. You know, Jeff Jamison is one. Mary mm-hmm. Veazey's one here in town. Bill Bryson, there's a lot of good artists in this town, and Jeff Jamison is famous across the country. but people here don't know that much about him. And we had a, I've been involved with the Boys and Girls Club forever, mm-hmm. been on the board for like 15 years. And anyways, we have these fundraisers, and I try to get the art community to donate paintings to mm-hmm. raise funds for the Boys and Girls Club. Well, Jeff gave us a painting a year or two ago, and it was hanging in there. It was a small one, but it was a Jeff Jameson original.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept trying to get people to bid on it. I said, come look at this. I said, this is Jeff Jameson original. This is worth something. But you couldn't get people to realize who Jeff Jameson was and that it was an original. It didn't look like a famous painting, but it was a good painting. Mm-hmm. Jeff Jameson is real good at making wet scenes, like the street reflect light and taillights and headlights and those kind of things. He did a lot of work around the square, a lot of his mm-hmm. paintings around the square too. But it's hard to get people, my point is, it's hard to get people to realize that that's hard to do, and it takes time. And you can have $100 and just in material, not counting the frame, mm-hmm. in a painting when you finish it. And you know, you see these starving artist sales on TV for $49.95 or $69.95, and you know, an artist to paint that would have three times that in a painting of that size, just in material and supplies.
Does that assist the individuals who are in that starving artist program? Because to me, that does not enhance their value. We were talking about that earlier, mm-hmm. and if I were you with your paintings, and I were to set up in one of the known places around here, all my art, and let people come in and view it, and then put prices on it, there's no way I would put a lower price on that, because that's almost devaluing the art to start with. Mm-hmm. And around here, we're in an area where we really don't understand art like they would in some other places, but it's starting to grow. Mm-hmm. And as people like you become part of the art community, you actually are able to observe the value of the art, which has always fascinated me, because you come in and you watch people look at all the paintings, and they stand, and you were saying earlier, you get a better view of it, the overall view, if you stand back. It's not right on.
Right. Right.
But I would presume that someone who knows their art is probably looking up there to make sure that this is the artist that they want to see, because I presume you always use your calling card with your art after you paint it.
Yeah, that, and of course you always want to sign your art. Mm-hmm. And like I said, copies, the Giclée copies are getting very popular because people can buy those at a lot less money mm-hmm. value.
And you were explaining to me what your Giclée copy is.
A Giclée is an artist approved. You've got to do it. It's mm-hmm. copyrighted. And you have your painting scanned by a scanner, mm-hmm. digitized, put on a CD disc, and you can print it off your printer. You can print photographs. You can make note cards or whatever with it. But you can also, the people that do the scanning have these great big huge printers,
mm-hmm.
just like a printer in your office or in your home. They use a little bit different ink, but they can print that painting onto canvas, and then you have to stretch it, and you can't, you standing 3 feet away from it, you can't tell it's not an original art.
Mm-hmm.
But it's of less value because you can print more of them and sell more of them. It's kind of like a signed and numbered print. That's what made a lot of artists, Ben Hampton and people like that, Larry Dodson and, mm-hmm. and people, Rich, were selling their prints, signed and numbered prints for collection. But one original painting is worth a whole lot more than a signed and numbered print, because there's only one of those, and there could be 1,000 prints made. A Giclée is a nice copy of a good painting.
I have bought paintings in Gatlinburg from a number of, I presume they're known artists. I have been told they're known artists. And then you have the prints, and they're numbered. All right, just like you say, the original is the one that is valued the most. But they're numbered. Does each number lose value as it goes down? Because people are always wanting the lower number, and to me, a copy is a copy. So why is that?
That's perspective, people's opinions about things. The number one is the artist proof.
Mm-hmm.
An artist proof is the first one you do. Mm-hmm. And then once the artist proof is approved, then they start making copies from that, and they're signed and numbered. The only reason you want an early number is because it may be one of 500, and you've got number 20 or number 500, and there was only, you happened to buy number 500, and there was only 20 of them sold.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know about that kind of thing.
Well, I bought one time, and I took it to one of the places in town, mm-hmm. and to have a frame for it, mm-hmm. and then somehow it got mixed up with somebody else's, and I lost a number of the lower numbers on mine, which kind of aggravated me. But the reality of it, I really didn't lose anything, did I?
Well, maybe not. Probably not. You know, just to say it's a signed and numbered copy is about all you really need to say. It just depends on who's buying, who's selling. It's like mm-hmm. horse trading.
Now, you've had displays out with your paintings.
Oh, yeah, I've done a number of shows, displays, the Rotunda several times.
When people come through and look at it, do you have a...
Danny Jones did that?
Yeah.
The Danny Jones we know?
I don't put you and the painting together. I really don't, because you're really good. You're really good.
Well, thank you.
I think of you just one of us guys running around there, and then all of a sudden I see you with a paintbrush and out there creating, and that's something special. I really wish that I could do it. I could sit there and say, man, I'm creating something, but I'm really getting a whole lot more out of it than anybody else ever will. And it has to be something special to you. And there are probably times that you have painted objects or people that you don't want to let that painting go. It means more to you than actually if you sell it at a high price.
Right. I haven't sold any of my artwork other than the commission work that I've done for people,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of family members. I have we call each other our brother cousins. Mm-hmm. We're like brothers. We grew up together. His name's Mike Taylor, and he grew up on Jakes Avenue.
Oh, wow.
For a number of years. His dad worked at the electric department.
Best place in the world to grow up.
Yeah. His mother and my mother were sisters, and we have no siblings, and mm-hmm. we're the same age, and we grew up a lot together. But after high school, we separated up till a few years back,
mm-hmm.
because of geographics, where he lived and where I lived, and lifestyles and children and things. And we've gotten back together in the last few years, and it feels good. But we went down to their house. He lives on top of Lookout Mountain on the Georgia side.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he loves it. But we went down there, and it's kind of remote. And up on top up there, there's one of the Lipton or somebody people has got a great big farm ranch up there, and they got mm-hmm. this beautiful lake on it. And we went over there one day just to do a little fishing. And I took some pictures while we were over there, and I got one of him standing down on the bank of the lake by himself fishing.
Wow.
And I did that the other day.
Did he know that you were doing it?
No. And I did it for him the other day.
That's amazing.
I gave it to him. But, and you know, that, I felt good about that.
Yeah, yeah. If you say people commission you to go out and do paintings, and you know, every time you see a wedding, there are cameras all over the place, but you never see anyone out there capturing the wedding with a painting and a brush. Have you ever been asked to do anything like that? Because to me, if I was a family member, I think that would be special, that they could hang on to and have it displayed probably for many, many generations.
Well, it takes, that's one of the values of a painting, Truman, is it takes a long time to paint a painting like that. If you go in someone's house and you see a great big painting, 30 by 40 or 40 by 60 or something, in a house of them, like mm-hmm. you saw the old paintings and the old European homes and castles of the lord of the manor or whatever, mm-hmm. Those paintings take a long time to paint. You can't paint one of those in a few days. It takes months to paint one like that. Mary Vesey is a very good portrait painter. She does commission work here all the time. I'm not good enough to do commission portrait work. But the problem with doing portrait work is, as I have found being on this side of the table, people expect a portrait to look like a photograph. And you remember I told you earlier, my teacher told me one time, Danny, if you want it to look like a photograph, take a picture. It's not supposed to look like a photograph.
Every artist I've talked to says that.
And you find people that commission artists to paint a painting of their child or their husband or their wife, and then when it's finished, they say, I'm not paying you for that. That looks nothing like them. When in reality, it really does. It's just they see them in real life and in photographs. They don't see them like you and I or the public sees them.
They have to appreciate it from an artist's viewpoint. But they also have to realize what went into that painting.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's an art form, camera work is an art form, but it's a different art form, and to me, it has a little bit more thought and heart into it, and it should have more value to the descendants as they look at it. But one of the hardest things to me, being an artist, is finding the people who appreciate it, because you can go into a home, where are you going to put the paintings that you have accumulated all the years? Not everybody has the imagination for where they would go and what would make it look, enhance the way the house looks.
I like color. I like doing Tuscan scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I like the colors in Tuscan scenes. I like color. And people buy color. If you'll look at a lot of paintings that you see, they're colorful.
Mm-hmm.
They're bright. And still life a lot, flowers and bowls and stuff, and they're colorful. It's hard to just say, this is what you need to buy, or this is what you need.
Mm-hmm.
But if you buy good art, a good original art, it's forever. You don't care whether somebody thinks it goes or doesn't go. It's good art. It's good art. You buy it because it's good art.
Jeff Jameson, you say, is one of the top artists. Mm-hmm. And
Michael Shane Neal in Nashville is world known.
And they're appreciated all over the world.
But not here.
But how do people get to understand it? That's the hard thing.
Well, we're a good society here, but you have to go to large cities, you know, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Miami. That's where the art appreciation people live that collect good art.
But this area is starting to change.
You're right. It's starting to change, and we need to help it change in some fashion. And people just don't understand why you pay $850 for a painting, but you can go out to one of the hotels out here on one Sunday afternoon in a year and buy one like it for $69.95. It's a total different thing.
Does anybody ever put on any clinics or anything like that? Of course, you had people who were working with you, but it has to be extremely frustrating for people like Jeff Jameson to have all of that talent and ability right here in his home area, and people don't understand the quality that he's putting out.
Well, there's a number of good shows around here, but they're mostly in Nashville. Belmont University has a big one every year. Jeff does that show. Mary does that show. And they do well. They sell several paintings at that show, but people come from all over to those shows, from out of state and everywhere to those shows. And we have a good venue here for people that are interested in art. We have the Art League down at Cannonsburg that meets every Monday night, a good group of people. Clarice Nelson is a great artist down there, wonderful artist. There's a bunch of them down there. And also the Art Attic is where I painted a lot over, Doran Claiborne and his insurance office.
Yes, yeah.
Upstairs is a place in there called the Art Attic. And that's where Mary Vesey teaches. She teaches classes like on Thursdays and Monday or Tuesday nights or Thursday nights. And you can go over there for a 3 or 4 hour class for 10 weeks for $250 or something like that. I don't know the exact numbers on them, but there's places to learn.
Does that give you a kind of an insight when you actually walk in and see an art display that you actually feel like that you know what is there in the quality of the type work?
If you walked in there, you would recognize a lot of people in there.
Mm-hmm. If I were to walk in and see a large art display and it was yours, and I was looking at it, and I was like, I think in my own mind, well, this is pretty good. I'd give a couple hundred dollars or something like that. And then I could have somebody walk up behind me and say, man, this is really top-notch art. I'd give $500 or $1,000 for this one or more. And then all of a sudden, I changed. And
That's
I said,
right.
Whoa, this is a guy that knows what he's talking about. That's Does right. that ever happen in these art exhibits? Would there be kind of a ringer every once in a while? I'm sure that it's beyond that, but I was thinking in my own devious mind, I say, if I
sleeper,
had an
there's a sleeper.
Yeah, I would have somebody say, yeah, very good, something like that. And people, we're all kind of like lambs. We follow. You almost have to in the art business.
Well, there's promotions in everything. It's perception that people think, well, never heard of that guy. But now if this guy right here, he could have had displays all over the country and shows and things and be the worst artist in the world. But hey, he's got stuff hanging in Colorado art show or the Charleston, South Carolina, the coastal places, there's a big market. And that's where Jeff sells a lot of his stuff.
Well, they have the big, huge homes with the high ceilings and just the old colonial look, just beautiful homes over there. And they would fit in homes like that. You think about East Main here in Murfreesboro, a perfect place for a lot of that.
I'd love to have a show or something, even a fundraising show, where the artists give a portion of their profits back of that caliber. I'd like to have a high upscale event of some kind, and we're kind of working. Lee Rennick is working on something like that, and we're going to try to maybe do something like that in the future.
Where would you you think about? Well, you got Oakland's Mansion out there, which they do let people come in from time to time to display their artwork and stuff like that. And that's a perfect venue, it seemed like, for me. We're going to take a quick break after this phone call, and we have a call on the line, Danny. So.
Yeah.
Caller, welcome aboard.
Hello?
Danny?
Yes.
Yeah. There was a wildlife artist a few years ago in the 80s by the name of Robert Knipp. Do you know anything about him?
Robert Knipp?
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
He's a wildlife artist.
No, sir.
All right.
Is he a Western from the West?
I don't know all that now. But he was a wildlife animals, stuff like that. I just wondered whatever happened to him.
Do you have anything of his?
I've got some of his works, and I just love to see if he's still around.
Google it. Go on the internet and Google it. You probably find out exactly everything you need to know about him.
Hey, we'll do that. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for calling.
And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Danny Jones.
Is your money working as hard as it should be? This is Lee Colvin with Edward Jones. If you want to provide for a comfortable retirement, we need to talk. Today, more than ever, your financial security deserves the attention of a full-time financial advisor. Take advantage of our years of experience. Call me, Lee Colvin, at 907-7056 or stop by my office on the corner of Rutherford and Broad in the Public Shopping Center. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock, $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And speaking of artists, we want to let you know this part of Danny Jones' show is brought to you by Charlie Pitts Hairstyling on Las Casas Pike. They provide quality haircuts and styling for men, women, and children. And you can call 895-3997 for Charlie Pitts Hairstyling. And it's not just a haircut, it's an experience at Charlie Pitts Hairstyling, and he is an artist. Well, we're slowly coming to an end, which is kind of aggravating to me because I have really enjoyed it. Have you got something coming up in the near future? You were talking about getting all these great artists together, and I'd love to be able to let people know when and where it's going to be and introduce some of these top quality artist, the Michelangelos of Rutherford County, and let people actually be able to talk to them. I think that would be a great show to go to, and a question and answer, and also explain the artwork that they have there.
You know, I'd be glad to talk to anybody anytime. I love talking about it, as you can see. I don't have a place big enough. I have a studio at home, a small one. Can't get but a couple of people in it, but anytime you want to come by, you know, you're welcome to come by.
We'll pay them, fix a meal. I mean, sausage and biscuits.
You want her number? You want her number?
I'd better not call her. She may throw rocks at
Pam,
me.
Pam is a Southern Belle hostess. If yes. There's an event going on at our house, I guarantee you there'll be something great to eat.
That has to be a special thing for you, because she probably takes care of you just like the old Southern Belles used to.
You know what they say, married over my head.
We all do. Now, in your business, when we're talking about real estate,
yeah,
you know, how do people get in touch with you on some of the things that you're doing?
Real estate, why is it just call Pam? Her cell number is the best way to get her at 849-6314. That's her cell phone, and she keeps it with her all the time, and she'd love to talk to anybody about real estate anytime. She's when Pam, all of her clients, customers, wind up being a friend instead mm-hmm. of just a customer. Everybody she sells, that they get close and become friends. And
that speaks volumes, because you want to deal with people that you feel comfortable with.
And that you like. And she's very good at that, much better than I was.
Well, you're a great painter.
Got to have something, don't I?
Thanks for coming, Dan. It's been
me.
A real pleasure, and I'll have to have you back on, and maybe we'll sit down before we go on and talk about some of these great magazines that you brought up here, because they're all special.
They're fun.
Yeah, well, we'll see you guys in the morning, and we're going to have Whit Brandon on, and he may have a guest with him, his great father-in-law, John L. Beatty, may be coming with him. So we'll see you in the morning at 9 o'clock.